Welcome to the Hire Truckers Podcast, where we interview experts in driver recruiting. We provide industry insights, marketing trends, and motivation to help you level up your recruiting game. Welcome to the Hire Truckers Podcast. This is Aaron Craddock, your host. And today I have Sadie Church with us, who currently runs Recruit, Hire, Retain. She was recommended from a few different people to have her on our show, and I'm super excited to have her on and excited to kind of share with you some of the stuff she's working on. And then more than anything, I think this episode is going to add a lot of value to directors of recruiting, people that work in retention, because I view Sadie as one of the top industry experts, particularly in retention, getting drivers to show up for orientation, just doing really good follow-up throughout the whole process. I actually had heard her speak at the CDL Life event a couple of years ago. That was one of the first times I heard her talk about retention. I was like, wow, like more fleets need to hear this. So shout out to CDL Life's event that they do every year. I encourage you guys to get out there. That's been one of my favorite industry events I've been able to attend the last few years. So thank you for coming on the show today, Sadie.
Thanks so much for having me, Aaron.
And so a little bit more background of Sadie, just to give you guys just why she's an expert. So she spent some time at NFI, leading there as the director of recruiting. And then after that, she went to Archer Express. And that's a lot of where I heard some of how she improved the retention process there. And so we're going to dive a little bit into that. The two topics that Sadie and I decided to dive into today are just growth mindset, because we, you know, both really care about having mentors in our lives and the importance of that, and then reading and growing. So we're going to spend some time on that. And then we're also going to spend some time on just some industry insights, like what's happening in the market, what are we seeing, what are drivers doing, are they applying for jobs, are they not? And then lastly, we're going to go into just some retention tips and tricks. And so our value is that by you listening to this episode, just as a recruiting director, an executive in a fleet, or a recruiter, that you leave with that one little nugget that can help you improve your business. And so we'll start out, Sadie, with just what is something I know you're an avid reader. What's a book that you've read that's really just impacted your life? It can be recent or just in the past.
Yeah. So The Happiness Advantage by Sean Aker. It's a book, Harvard scientists, on positive psychology and how to retrain your brain. Another really good one. I'm late to the game on this one. I just finished Atomic Habits, and that was really good as well. And another recommendation that's kind of a little off the radar is The Four Agreements. And that was a really, really good one as well.
I think I heard of that one, but I haven't read it. So Atomic Habits, that's been a really impactful book for me. It's one I go back to every single year. Like, how did that one impact you? What's a little nugget from that?
My favorite takeaway from that one was like how you, when you have a goal or something in mind, how to speak it, to say it to others, to help hold yourself accountable. That one really spoke to me. I've always made to-do lists, but I've never really like held myself accountable for goals. So I think that was really, really helpful.
That's awesome. And then Happiness Advantage, like why does that matter?
So that is, if you've ever struggled with anxiety or anything like that, it's the science behind how your brain works, the left side versus the right side, and how you can exercise your brain to focus on positive emotions and have more control over any negative emotions, anxiety, depression, anger, whatever those emotions may be. That side of your brain is a lot stronger.
Yeah. So I struggled with anxiety in different seasons of my life and probably depression, like never diagnosed. But I think it's one of those things that's just not talked about, like among high achievers. Just how many people struggle with it. And then it's actually been through the rewiring. I first read The Happiness Advantage when I was at Randall Riley. Like we went through that with some of our leadership team. And yeah, it just really, really changed the way I think. And just labeling emotions and being okay with them. And I was actually even raised where like you didn't really talk about negative emotions. So you didn't talk about sadness or fear or like anything. Like I had a whole side of the emotional spectrum that I guess completely just pretended like they didn't exist. I was like, I'm always in this happy world. And it's really been through the last few years, which is a longer conversation, but my struggle with alcohol and how that impacted things. I was 3 years sober yesterday. So I got my 3 year chip. But alcohol, if you don't know, it only accelerates the anxiety and the depression and all of those things. It doesn't go the other way around. So that's another thing. If you're listening to this podcast and you struggle with that and you want to chat, I'm here for you. So been there, done that. So, and stay sober one day at a time. And yeah, so I really appreciate you sharing, those books. So the other thing we talked about is how impactful mentors have been kind of in your life. And like, what's your kind of your philosophy on like, do we need mentors throughout life? What are your thoughts around that?
I have a pretty strong opinion on this. I think if you truly want to grow your career, identify a mentor early on, ask them to be your mentor, ask them to hold you accountable. I've had the same mentor for many, many years. We stay in very constant contact. He has absolutely been instrumental in my career. He gives me harsh advice when I need it. And he's also, back to the Atomic Habits, like calling out a goal or something. He's the person, who I tell, hey, this is what I want to do. This is my goal. And I don't want to disappoint him. Like I want him to be, proud of who I am and the work that I've done. So he's helped hold me accountable in those ways. And he's really guided me so many times throughout the years, keeping me going in the right direction. Again, not all positive, harsh feedback, but in a trusting environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had one mentor that I need to follow up with him. He's probably going to listen to this. That's given me some harsh feedback and kind of held me accountable on some things. And then I hadn't done it. And so then I quit talking to him as much. But really it's been the last year or so that I valued, kind of found accountability through some other circles, some different mastermind groups and things I'm in. And yeah, just where we have, like we're doing something as silly right now as like 100 pushups and 100 sit-ups a day. And we have to text each other when we do it every day. And then if we don't, we have to pay $20 into our, like next time we get together dinner fund.
That's great.
And so it's, so I've missed twice, like this month, but so far I've done, 1,800 pushups and sit-ups.
That's
awesome.
That
I would not have done, like even last night, I got home really late, had a really long day, and it was like 10 o'clock. I just had 4 chocolate chip cookies and a glass of milk, which I don't normally eat, but I was celebrating. But I was like, I got to get down. My wife was like, are you really going to do those 100 pushups and sit-ups? And I was like, yes. The only reason is I know they would be ragging me today if I didn't get it done. And so just the power of accountability. There's just so many things that I really wouldn't do. And speaking out that those intentions and that vision. I think that's another thing. Like by your being clear on where you want to go and your vision, like whether it's in improving or recruiting and retention department, how much you want to improve it or in launching your new business. And things like that, like by being clear and sharing that with the world, you're accountable and you actually have to do it and then move forward in that direction. So I love that. Today's sponsor. Do you hire truck drivers in hard to fill areas or do you need help creating efficiency in your recruiting department? You're not alone. With 50 plus years experience, Trucking Click specializes in data-driven strategies, industry-leading customer experience, and custom solutions that'll get you to your goal. Trucking Clicks is your go-to place for high-quality direct leads at scale. Visit truckingclicks.com or call 512-982-0816 today. The next thing I wanted to touch on is before we dive into retention, like what are you seeing kind of in the job market? And, this episode will come out a little bit later in the year, but kind of what are you seeing now? Like we're sitting in late February here. what are you seeing with some different trends, and how do you think that impacts things right now?
Yeah, so a few different things. One, truck driving, we know this, it's a very competitive market, right? But it feels more so right now. In fact, I was looking for some statistics for a presentation we're doing, and I found a report, the 2023 Fall Driver Study, that said we're at a record low number of drivers looking for jobs. And that really stuck out to me. It says that we're at only 33% of drivers are actively looking for a new job right now. That's compared to 40% where we were last year. Again, that's a record low. So it's tough. I mean, we're seeing fewer applications per job than what we would typically see. So it's a tight market right now.
That's interesting, because I'm even thinking as of a few months ago, it really wasn't. So that's kind of the first times I'm hearing of, it's almost like it's starting to turn around, it would seem. Do you see like things heating up, like are we going to have another run like we had after COVID, where everybody's fighting after drivers, everybody has to ramp up their budget really quickly? Do you anticipate something like that happening, or what are you thinking?
I don't think we'll see that really until freight starts to improve, until rates start to improve. With freight volumes and rates being so low right now, I don't see a lot of fleets really wanting to grow their fleets right now. I think a lot of people are looking for ways to cut costs as much as possible, and really just kind of maintain until the freight market stabilizes.
Mm-hmm. What do you see? Because you've been through a few of these cycles being in the industry a while, like where stuff has slowed down like this and then it sped back up. I mean, this is a little bit unique cycle, but what do you see, like fleets that you think are weathering this well, that is going to enable them to pick up market share potentially when things ramp back up? Like what do you think like the smart fleets are doing right now, or maybe one example of someone that's doing a good job?
Yeah, I think they're all looking for ways to cut costs. So any easy wins to cut costs right now, you're going to want to hold on to the fleet that you have, really focus on retention, so that you can spend less on advertising. So any way that you can reduce costs is really what you need to be focusing on, and building more partnerships.
Yeah. Touch on that, partnerships. So like, what do you see, like what type of partnerships would that be?
So if you're a fleet, one of your big focuses would be identifying more new customers, expanding your freight network so you don't have to rely as much on the spot market, building those relationships with customers, getting customer freight can certainly help you through some of these tough times.
That makes sense. So, yeah. So you said focusing on relationship with, what I heard was focusing on relationship with different carriers, that contract freight, so you're not relying as much on the spot market. Like that's one thing fleets can do, is really focusing on human relationships, right, and those connections. And I think like some of the fleets I hear that are growing their fleet right now, it's because they've done that. They've really leveraged their relationships through this cycle, maintained a really good level of customer service. And then as, like, let's say dedicated lanes are heating up in a new market, or a fleet makes a new acquisition, then they're getting a shot at that. And it's not a race to the bottom on cost. So I think that's super smart. And so then the word you used was retention. So, and that's what I'm really excited to dive a little more into. So what's been some of your experience like with retention in the industry, like whether it's at NFI or Arthur Express, like how have you kind of been involved on the retention side?
Yeah, it actually goes back even further than that. I, several years ago, had the opportunity to go to Riverside Transport. I had previously been at CDL Life. Riverside Transport wanted to build a retention department, so they brought me in to build the retention department from the ground up. From there, I took over their marketing department and then their recruiting department, and very quickly found just how hand in hand the three go. on the recruiting side, like I always tell people, you recruiting is, you know, you're filling a bucket and you don't want the bucket to be full of holes. So you're just recruiting drivers. They're coming in one door, they're going out the other door. We want to set the right expectation, retain as much of our fleet as possible, because at the end of the day, that's going to lower your cost per hire. It's going to lower your turnover. And then if you are setting the right expectations with your drivers and you are recruiting and hiring ethically, your driver is going to be happier and they're going to refer more drivers. And we've always found that obviously referrals are going to drive down your cost per hire even further. You can reduce your ad budget even more if your drivers are referring other drivers for you. And we've also found that we have higher retention with our referred drivers. They have a lifeline at the company they know to go to for help. So we also see better retention rates with referrals as well.
Yeah. So how do you keep them like sitting down? Cause that's one of the biggest challenges is fleets have these drivers come on and then they leave 30 days later. So how do you impact that?
Yeah. So if a driver's leaving in the first 30 days, that's going to tell me a few things. One, did we not set the right expectations for the driver coming on board? And two, what was our communication? What were our check-in points with that driver in the first 30 days? Because if we're losing a driver in the first 30 days, we're really, really dropping the ball on staying in contact with that driver. How was your first week? How was your equipment when you checked into it? I was always very heavily involved in the orientation aspect. So I was always right there when the drivers were being seated in the trucks. I knew immediately if a truck was dirty that a driver was getting put into, or if it broke down at the terminal, right? Those are problems that you often see really early out of the gate. What was the onboarding process like? What was the orientation process like? Was it a warm welcome in orientation? Did we go over useful content? Were you treated well? Were you treated with respect while you were here? Did we give you good, clean equipment that met your expectations? Did we set the right expectations? So those are all really, really important things within the first 30 days. Just making sure that you're setting the right expectations and you're monitoring your processes.
So how do you, one of the things is like you're handing drivers off from your recruiter to your recruiting manager to safety to dispatch. So how do you manage the whole process from the recruiter to then maybe recruiting manager, safety, orientation after they hire? How do you keep consistent communication with the driver? Because a lot of times that's handed off at fleets and that breaks down. So how do fleets navigate that?
That's a really good question, Aaron. I am a huge advocate for full cycle recruiting. My recruiters' jobs are not done once the orientation has been scheduled. It is their job to walk the applicant all the way through the process and meet the driver in orientation on day one.
That's awesome. And then how are they managing it after that, even after the day one?
Yes, they typically do check-ins week one. How was your first week? And because they built that really strong relationship with them through the application, through onboarding process, that their recruiter typically tends to become kind of like a little bit of their lifeline to the company. So the recruiter is often the one that the driver would call if they're experiencing any issues. We also do introduce our retention team during orientation. And the retention team leads a pretty significant portion of the orientation. So they're building that relationship with the retention team as well.
Okay. So, because I've always kind of wondered, how do you do that handoff?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of multiple departments touching the driver through the orientation and onboarding portion. It can cause a lot of confusion as to, oh, who was my point of contact? Who do I call? I got to my hotel. I don't have a room. I don't know who to call. I talked to so many different people. I like for them to know that they have one central point of contact throughout the process.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What's another question I'm not asking about retention that you think we need to cover that's really going to help the director of recruiting? Or just, what are some tips?
Yeah. So I think another thing that fleets can do, we always think in terms of strictly retention related stuff. We don't think in terms of how do we create a community for our drivers? How do we keep them engaged? How do we communicate with them? We often hear that communication is in orientation. One of the questions we ask every driver who comes into orientation, tell me some of your pain points at your last job. Over and over and over again, communication is one of the top things that people say is an issue. So how do we create a community where we can communicate with our drivers and also give them a place where they feel like they know what's going on within the company and they feel connected and they feel informed and they feel involved? So I'm a very big fan of starting a Facebook group. It's free. Any fleet can do it. Any fleet, regardless of size, can have a retention department. It's just retooling the people you have in maybe just a little bit of a different way and embracing free tools that are out there. So set up a private Facebook group if you haven't done so. Make it a community. I am a huge advocate for post as yourself. So when I would post in the Facebook group, I post as Sadie Church. I'm a human. I'm not a corporation. I'm a person behind this company, right? And in that Facebook group, we share messages on here's new freight lanes coming on. Here's the new customer that's coming in this area. And we also communicate the hard stuff. Hey, we just lost this account out of Houston. If you live out of Houston, it's going to be a little bit more of a struggle to get you home. We're working through it. We're working on identifying other customers in the area so that we can pick similar or those lanes back up. So it's communicating before it becomes a problem. So we communicated stuff like that. It could be a safety message. It could be, hey, we're seeing an uptick in trailer inspections. Give us your recommendations for how to fix this. Or, hey, we're hearing that this drop lot is an issue. You know, what are you seeing there? So we're asking them for feedback. We're allowing them to weigh in on things. We also used it to personalize one another. So if I wanted to talk about what I did for the, hey, I did this really fun thing for the weekend. I got to go see my daughter, you know, tell me something fun you experienced in the last week or say something good. We would give driver shout outs in that Facebook group, but it wasn't all positive. We encourage drivers to share their pain points with us because at the end of the day, we can't fix what we don't know is broken. So allowing them that private space, that private Facebook group to share their concerns with us. And I will tell you, that's something that the team monitored that page very, very, very closely. It was the last thing I checked at night before I went to bed. It was the first thing I checked in the morning when I woke up. We wanted to identify problems or issues in real time and be able to address them as quickly as possible. So if it's 7 o'clock at night and something comes across, I'm here, I'm sitting, I'm waiting on a load, I'm getting really frustrated, I haven't heard back, my dispatcher left for the day, I'm taking a screenshot of that post. I'm sending it directly to our 24/7 coverage. Hey, we need to get this driver a load. We need to get him out of the area, see what we can do. Let's follow back up. I'm messaging the driver. Hey, this has been sent to our after hours team. They're working on this. So we see you, we hear you, and we're addressing your concerns as quickly as possible. So it's great for retention as well on that end. If you're allowing drivers a safe space, a private space, to voice their concerns, you're going to hear their pain points. You're going to be able to address them in real time. So that's a free tool. Another tool that I recommend, again, kind of going back to that communication, if you have that Facebook group, take advantage of those Facebook Lives. We did a biweekly fleet call where we would have different members of the leadership team on the call each week. And that's when we would go over anything related to routes, customers, inspection blitzes coming up, you know, just new tools that are available to them, new staff introductions, anything going on within the business, we would address on those calls with our drivers. They could comment live. We would respond to their comments live. It gave them the opportunity to weigh in real time. For the drivers who didn't have Facebook, because there are drivers who don't have Facebook. For the drivers who didn't have Facebook, we would download that Facebook video. We would email it every week to our entire fleet. So if you don't have Facebook, weren't able to attend, you still had access to the video. We also did a monthly driver newsletter. Every newsletter had all of those communications as well, kind of summarized. And then we also, in every single newsletter, had a survey, a pulse survey. Just to check the overall wellness of our fleet. Again, address any pain points or issues. If someone wants to report something anonymously, that those monthly surveys allow them the opportunity to do that. So those are free tools at your disposal, very easy to do, and just requires a time, right? That's your biggest investment in that is the time that you spend in that group hosting, communicating, and following up on concerns. Another very inexpensive, I believe it was $15 a month, thing that we did for our fleet was we created a Discord community. A lot, we were learning that, again, those questions that we ask in orientation when we're getting to know one another, we asked drivers, you know, what do you like to do in your free time? And we heard a lot of drivers playing, you know, online gaming. So they have plenty of time to do that on the road, right? Play video games. And so one thing we thought would be fun would be to create our own online gaming community. And so we created our own Discord group, and we encouraged drivers and staff to join, because we wanted the two commingling. Again, remember, we want to humanize one another, and we are people behind a corporation. So I wanted staff and drivers, anyone who is interested in gaming, to join this community, and they could play online video games together. So just another way to build the community and be humanize the experience.
That's awesome. Those are all just gold tips. Yeah, I've never even heard of somebody using a Facebook group that well and leveraging it that way. I would think one of the concerns would be, if I'm thinking objections, if you're not going to actually address the problems, it's probably not mm-hmm. good to open that door.
Absolutely.
But if you're going to address them, then it makes sense. So it sounds like you would have to have a ton of alignment with, hey, we're really going to help the drivers and put them first. This is going to be uncomfortable. We're going to hear, you know, what we're doing wrong, and we have to address it. Because if you open the door to feedback, but then don't address it, then it just reinforces the bad. So that's really cool that you were able to address it live and on the fly.
Yeah. I mean, there are always going to be people who you, no matter what, you can't make them happy. Right. And that's always going to happen. But I will say, if you are on top of it, and you are addressing things and following back up, here's what we did, here's how we address this, you will get fewer and fewer of those.
That's awesome. And how did that impact retention, by implementing that?
So I didn't have the previous data before I started, so I can't really give you an honest answer.
Okay. But I can just think of, even in terms of just driver morale and referrals and just crazy impact there.
Yeah. I mean, we were on a wait list for several months. So we really created such a unique, cool community.
That's neat. So last thing I want to make sure we cover before we get off is particularly what are you doing with recruit, hire, retain? I know a lot of us have seen you on social media talking about the new venture. Yeah. Can you kind of explain what recruit, hire, retain is and who you can help?
Yeah. So we are a consulting company. We help in addressing any recruiting, marketing, or retention concerns fleets might have, whether it is to reduce your overall cost per hire, reduce your time to hire, take a look at your marketing. How can we, you know, suggest improvements to that? Or even just, hey, we have a really small team, but we really want to focus on retention. Can you give us some ways that we can work to retain our fleet? So all things recruiting, marketing, and retention related, we specialize in helping fleets just hire more drivers at a lower cost and retain those drivers once they get them in the door.
Yeah. And you've built a rock star team really quickly of partners.
Yes.
In the business. Can you share a little bit about who you have on your team and why you're excited about that?
Yeah. So we have Mike Coble, Dave Renfro, and Ellen Voya on our team. Dave and Mike both have many, many years of experience in recruiting and transportation. Mike's very strong background is with owner operators. Several years ago, Mike even owned his own fleet. So has a lot of experience with owner operators. We each kind of bring different skill sets, which is, I think, really, really complement one another. Dave has worked for several large carriers over the years and also has a safety background. So he kind of brings in that safety component as well. Ellen has a very diverse background as well, worked in trucking as well before on the carrier side, and then started the Women in Trucking Association, and just recently stepped down from her role as president of Women in Trucking Association. So we're super excited to have her on the team as well. Her perspective on, a lot of companies want to grow their female driver fleet. So having Ellen on the team will support that as well. So really, really great team. I'm super excited to have them on board. I think the unique thing that this gives us in our company is that when you recruit, hire, retain, you aren't getting just one consultant's expertise and feedback and suggestions. You're getting a whole team of very experienced people. So I think that that's kind of unique to what we offer, is that you really get an elite team of experts in the industry.
That's awesome. I love that, because you're able to come alongside and partner with the fleet and help them just from, combine decades and decades of experience, like on the applicant tracking system utilization side, mm-hmm. on like making sure you're using that, on the retention side, on process, on safety, mitigation of risk and things like that. Like those are all just really hot topics. And I think you guys can add a ton of value. And I've even just heard from some people that have already worked with you guys just speak really positively of how you've worked with them and how you've really helped them. So I'm super excited to see how you guys, just continue to grow and see your vision become reality.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So that's all we have for today's show. Thank you so much, Sadie, for joining me. I know we've wanted to have this happen for a while. I'm super excited we were able to get you on. So thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our goal with the Hire Truckers podcast is to provide industry insights, marketing trends, and motivation to level up your recruiting game. If we added value, take a few seconds to share this with your network. Have a great week.